Welcome to the show. It's the show that you know.
Yeah.
It's the Black Tower Podcast. And we're coming to you now to give you all that we got. And all that we got is quite a lot of the tainty goodness that you come back for every week. Every week. The taint! May the taint be with you. Welcome to the Black Tower Podcast. This is Josh, your Tsurvan Mihail. And I am joined by my cohorts, the others whom you love so much because we have bewitched you with our tainty ways and flavors.
The others being your Amin Khan Mihail, Senor Daniel.
And your Bajan Mihail. Back from travels outside the tower, Andrew.
And if the Mihails weren't enough for you, we brought something a little extra. We got to turn it up a bit. We enjoy
these amps go to 11.
Special guest. And you know what? I'm just going to let him introduce himself because the man knows what he's about. My good sir, please, if you will.
Cool. My name is Lord Captain Commander Dunn. I am also B. Malachi Dunn. I have been chatting about the Wheel of Time on with a couple of first-time readers on my YouTube channel for quite a bit now. We just barely did Winter's Heart, and we're probably going to try and get back into it and do the other ones now that he's finished the series. He just had to take a break from Discord for a little bit. I'm also B. Malachi Dunn. I'm a published author. I've been working on various types of series for about 9 years now, and I currently have 11 books published.
Damn.
I have 3 more coming out this summer. The first one's going to come out in a couple weeks. And then another one's going to be serialized, released weekly throughout June and August. And then at the end of August, I have my first book in my Dragon Blaster Season 1 book trilogy that I'm going to be writing because my
Dragon Blasters. I love it. It sounds like a show that should be on Toonami, and it in like all of the best ways.
That's basically how it was. I can actually
excellent.
The cover is actually already made. So y'all are the first people I'm going to show it to apart from my Discord.
Oh,
I mean, hell yeah. It.
Excellent.
I think this thing right here, I'll just put in the live recording discussion.
Excellent.
This is the cover for Dragon Blaster.
That's actually the name for Minavia Lane.
The Dragon Blaster.
Oh my god.
That's epic. That looks,
dude, yeah, that's so good. Cool looking.
It's like Gundam meets Beast Wars in again.
I'm
all the
so play. Happy right now.
I fucking love it.
Well, Lord Captain Commander, thank you for joining us. We are so excited to have you here, and that's amazing. We're already off to an amazing start. This has been fantastic.
Well, the last time we had a published author on the show, like we barely talked.
Yeah, we did. We sat there like fanboys just.
So I get really strong.
That was
like
another story about Robert Jordan.
hopefully we don't lose our tongues this time.
Have you watched Akami Ga Kill?
I can't say that I have.
What? Oh god.
I think that's
anyway, so like, good. I know what I'm doing this week.
In Akami Ga Kill, there's one of the, I forgot what they're called, like legendary weapons, heroic weapons, mm-hmm. something like holy weapons, whatever they're called. But one is called Incursio. And basically the guy puts on a suit of armor, and the more emotion and stuff he puts into it, the more it looks like a dragon. So I kind of got with a little bit of anime vibes in those. I kind of got those vibes from it too, which is a good thing.
Awesome. I can't wait. Well,
it's actually a really good series. It's really disappointing that the anime itself doesn't go past season one. Because the manga does, but, you know, that's life. That's life.
It's like all good things. I had to renew my Crunchyroll subscription so that I could finish watching season three of Is It Wrong to Pick Up Girls in a Dungeon?
I love that name. It's not even the greatest show in the world, but it has the best title ever.
Yeah. It's a really good show. So, and the name like implies that it's very fan servicey, and it can be to some extent, but it's not like the focus of it. So
these are all nice covers.
Yeah, these are all
really good. I love it. I'm so excited. For those of you not listening live, here's one of the things you're missing out on. The Lord Captain Commander here is giving us the drop. He's dropping the dime, man. And this is great.
He's dropping a dime.
So this is super awesome. So police. If you want to listen to us as we, you know, just kind of reporting, not necessarily to the man. He is the
police. Lord Captain Commander.
So if you guys want to get first glimpse at some of this stuff, you need to consider being a patron of the Black Tower, because
indeed,
all for just $1 a month, you can support a starving Mihail.
Yeah, but as always,
but we do have a whole bunch of stuff to discuss,
because it looks like all of us Mihails are starving.
We are. Do it, Andrew. What do you got?
I am definitely not starving.
Yeah, that was
Wednesday is like my feel free to eat like a fat kid day, because I don't have to worry about cooking or anything
before
the show.
Indeed. Anyway,
so before we get into the topic for today, and also speaking of patrons, one of our lovely and longtime Patreon supporters has sent us a new spoiler warning that we're going to play. Yes. Right now, and of course, this comes from our unofficial fact checker, Sexy Morshadi. So here you go.
And the only triple Welcome to the broken Black Tower, crown winner.
The Wheel of Time podcast.
Oh, okay, I'll stop it so you can.
Nope, I was just going to throw out his... Because we got a thing for titles, right?
Our unofficial fact checker, our triple brick breaker, our Mihail breaker, our...
Triple Broken Crown.
I thought that was the Triple Broken
Crown. The Triple Broken Crown. That's right. Yeah, that is the name of the title. That's actually correct.
All right. Here we go.
So there you go. Okay.
Welcome to the Black Tower, a Wheel of Time podcast. All right, let's check here. Okay. This podcast episode will be spoiling books 1 through... I mean, let's be honest here. Whatever Josh lets slip. So how about you pull that spoiler comment all the way on? Anyway, quit your whining. The last book came out in 2012. He was actually a ghost, and Rosebud was the name of his sled, for creator's sake.
Okay, that's great.
And that's excellent. I fucking love it.
It's not one only that finally doesn't make fun of me for not remembering it.
Get on that nice spoiler condom all the way through the series, but it also ruins Citizen Kane for people. What better?
That's really good. I like that.
Thank you, Morshadi. Thank you. Indeed. You're a sweet, concise, beautiful, and not at all painful to me.
I will throw out there that I don't know whether this is a good or a bad thing. It may be because I'm not memorable enough, but it may also just be because I'm not good. But so far, I don't think there have been any like actual Daniel callouts in these spoiler
warnings. It makes you the most well-behaved Mihail.
Apparently, which is not a good title. I don't want
Yes, Snakes and Foxes, that is a challenge.
It could be. If you want to go ahead and if you take that as a challenge, go ahead.
We already got registered nerd calling me out. Now we've got more shoddy calling out Josh. So now we can leave it
to the elfin
to call out Daniel.
All right, so what are we talking about?
There it is. Okay. You don't. My call-out's just regularly in Discord.
So is that actually you?
Yes.
On what is it? So you want to be a millionaire?
The weakest link. But yes.
Oh, close enough. Dang. That's awesome.
Yep. All right. Apparently, so, that, there we go. So I don't need a call out. I already do it right
now. Oh, no, he definitely needs a call out. Because not everybody gets to see that. That fantastic.
Malkiri Rob made my call out when he made a GIF.
And we all have GIFs. So
that is true. Okay.
You're the only one that's not in the spoiler condom call out club.
Correct. The spoiler condom that's call right. out club. I yeah. love
we'll
it.
Get you. That's we'll excellent. Get you there.
The S triple C.
All right, but that is not what we came here to talk about.
All right, what are we talking about? Let's do this.
We put on the spoiler condom to talk about what we were talking about tonight. But we are talking tonight about a very special topic to all of us. One that we have actually mentioned many, many times on the podcast before on many, many episodes. But that is talking about hating characters or strongly disliking characters for personal reasons rather than the way they're written. Because, of course, throughout the history of books, there have been good authors who write good characters who suck. And the reason that they suck isn't because the writer sat down and was like, how do I make a shitty character? They sat down and said, I need a character who's not good at things in this story, who makes bad choices, who says bad things, because that's how people are. That's how the world works. And so they write good characters because they suck, not sucky characters because they're unrealistic. So, but tonight we are going to talk about the characters that we hate, not necessarily because they don't fit into the story. Not necessarily because they're just annoying, but they don't work in the book series.
A prime example of this.
They're just that grating on us personally. They're just obnoxious in our minds because they're well written in a lot of cases, but are just so stupid or bad or annoying or whatever the case may be.
I love how you're using all the synonyms for Gawain.
Just if they're duck sauce, if they're just made of duck sauce, we're going to talk about them tonight.
Yeah.
So, I would like to just throw it out there, though. I was just going to say it's one of those it's not necessarily a Gawain type situation. Gawain is almost universally this is something that personally you don't like it. And maybe you were just like, oh my God, I can't stand Egwene. And then the internet was like, what do you mean you can't stand Egwene? Jeez. Ah! And they'd like, this is a character that as you were reading, we were just like,
yep,
I can't take it. I can't do it. Another one that it's not that it's a bad character because we've covered it thoroughly. There are no poorly written characters in this series. The characters are all very well written, but some of them are just annoying as hell.
Or they're just frustrating because, why you make bad choices based on, very poor logic on your part.
Yep.
Yeah, and I mean, hating a character because you don't like the character doesn't work with you or jive with you or whatever, is perfectly fine. As long as you're cognizant of the fact that you don't like the character because you don't like the character, not that the character was written badly. There's that tendency to take things that you don't like or you don't agree with and instantly attribute them as something that was poorly done or bad or something like that. And it's not always the case.
Correct.
Because I know me, they're the characters that I really don't care for. It's not because they're just trash characters. They're not written badly. I just, if I met that person, I would no longer be around that person.
Yes.
One way or another.
I think that's the best way to describe this. These aren't badly written characters. They're not characters that don't add anything to the story. But if you met them, would you want to punch them in the face or would you not want to have drinks with them? That's where we're going with this, where they grate you on a personal level and you would not want to hang out with this person for even a moment because personally, they drive you nuts.
I think the sitters in the hall, partially because you're in Egwene's POV, And so, like, you're
feeling
Wayne's annoyance at how these people seem really petty and focused on all the wrong things.
Well, and of course, that's one of the reasons that Robert Jordan does a good job in this POV-centric world, where you get a bunch of different points of view. You get Perrin, Matt, Egwene, Nynaeve, Moraine, all of these people think about things differently, and you're getting different chapters or paragraphs or whatever from each different person. And oftentimes you actually have to listen to what more than one character says about these people. Because if you just go ahead and listen to what, you know, Egwene thinks about the sitters, or that Matt thinks about all Aes Sedai, or that Rand thinks about the Aiel for a while, you're not getting a very good picture of what's going on. If you take into account what Rand thinks about the Wise Ones, and what Moraine thinks about the Wise Ones, and what Egwene thinks about the Wise Ones, and what Ruark thinks about the Wise Ones, suddenly you have a much better picture of what the Wise Ones are actually like, rather than whoever's personal bias on that particular group of people.
And the thing is, like, if it's easy to say, like, you know, oh, well, I can't stand, you know, I can't stand Aurum because of these reasons that are,
I mean, that's like just opinions. Objectively correct, but
yeah. but if you're going to, like, if you're going to come at it and be like, oh, I don't like this character because I think they're poorly written, like, that's something you got to come with, like, your examples and be prepared to, that's something that you should have to defend, or at least be able to, you should have to be able to defend it to say they're poorly written. But if you just don't like a character because you just don't like the character, then, you know, that's fine. I don't think anybody should fault you for it. I mean, it's going to happen because it's 2021 and the internet exists.
So to be fair, this is a character you don't like for purely emotional and non-evident reasons.
Well, you can have evidence.
There's no logic behind
it. You can have logic as well, but emotion is the most important part. Yes.
My logic is my emotion.
Exactly. That's fine.
Yeah. Cool.
So cool. Let's dive in.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, you know, guests first. Lord Captain Commander Dunn. Who is it? Who drives you absolutely batty that you just cannot stand?
So bear in mind, I have a weird perspective because I just barely watched Transformers 2 last night. For my podcast.
So your opinion is Optimus Prime, who for some reason isn't in this book series.
Oh, no, I was thinking Skids and Mudflap.
That's why.
I was thinking Skids
and Mudflap. Yes.
I just immediately, like, and so, like, I'm just like, at least nobody in these books are Skids and Mudflap.
Yes, there is no Jar Jar Binks in The Wheel of Time. Thank God.
Yeah.
Gowen.
Gowen. I actually don't mind Gowen that much in the later books. I think, like, Seabank's like, wow, you are making some really dumb decisions, bro, based on this one stupid peddler.
Yep.
And you believe him more than you believe the girl you want to marry.
That's so true, though. It's like, hey, look, a total stranger said that. That jerk, I can't believe he did that. And then the woman you love more than life itself comes up and says, no, that's not how it went. He's like, shh, baby, the men are talking, okay?
No,
so pretty and so cute.
What you don't understand is that if you actually take your router and you unplug it and then replug it back in, you're actually going to get a better signal. Because what ladies don't understand is how technology works. Peddlers have better information than I.
Or first-hand
witnesses, and it was actually
apparently.
Yeah, well, there's that. I gotta say, and it was kind of thrown in our chat, and this is I agree that Gawain early on in the books was just sort of an obnoxious rich kid, the same as Elaine. They were two obnoxious rich kids on two different paths, and I think the
really
reason
liked him in book one and in book three.
Book one and book two, he's actually really nice.
I like.
There's
him a
nothing
lot.
Hateable about Galad's him.
Galad's a raging piece of shit in book one and book two.
So, but part of the reason why we hate Gawain so much is we look at him and we see, and this is why I say he and Elaine are the exact same character. I've said this numerous times.
You have.
Elaine though makes better decisions. She's, and much as I hate to admit this, she's smarter. She makes good decisions and actually improves her situation a lot. Gawain is just like, oh shit, I'm so angry at the world. I think I will do the dumbest thing possible now. And again, I see it. It's a well-written thought process. And that's why it makes him so hateable later on in the books. Because he started out as, okay, average dude, cool, no problems with him. He's not, but then he just seems to get dumber and dumber and dumber. And you've seen people in your own life do this. You've seen people make the dumb decisions and throw everything away, and you're just so lost as to like, what?
Or
what are you doing? What? Why?
I am going,
and you can't fathom it.
I am going to attempt to kill the man who's prophesied to save the world, a man who can basically turn me to dust with his mind. And I'm going to do this using a sword.
Yeah, he knows. Even after he knows that Rand is the Dragon Reborn, he's like, nope, still going to kill him.
That's the thing. I don't think Gawain actually goes down, and I don't think it gets worse. I think he just never changes. I think he's the example of a stagnant character where there is little to no real discernible character development. Gawain at the beginning of the Wheel of Time and Gawain at the end of the Wheel of Time are the exact same moron. He just looks worse because everybody else has gotten better. So by proxy, he's the ugly friend that makes the pretty friend look prettier in the club.
He's also dead, which doesn't help.
Yeah. You knew this was coming. We told you. If you have not read and you just got spoiled, that's on you.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Well, at least I did give a fake one, like the Alan, like saying, oh, and then there was that moment where Rand, Lan, Moraine drank the blood of a baby giraffe and then flew out of a window, farting fire right out of their butts.
Yeah, no, that part was a little weird, but it made sense to me.
Yeah,
I got it.
It made complete sense.
Yeah, I mean, in the context of the situation, it was definitely the right call.
Yeah, giraffe sacrifice tends to do that to you. Alan Moore.
Yeah. But anyway, so we have now talked about Gawain a lot. We should probably let him be, because he's a piece of shit.
He's an easy target.
Well, he's like Duck Sauce. We'll put him in the fridge and he'll be the exact same state when we come
back. That's right. 10 years from now.
It's like taking a pot shot. It's like taking pot shots. That's a shot at a lame squirrel.
Right. Yeah. But what would you say, if it's not Gawain, is the top character, if you will, Lord Captain, that you do actually have an emotional, knee-jerk, hateable response to?
I would say Ramonda and Lelaine.
Wow. All right.
Ooh. Okay.
I think part of that, like, if I'm kind of analyzing it from, like, a structural perspective of why I have that emotion, it's mainly because Ramonda and Lelaine are representing the worst of Aes Sedai culture. They are petty, and and kind of the thing is, Aes Sedai don't even really have real power within themselves. Their structure means that all they do is they get to vote on policies. in a large group. And being the Amaralin just means that you are basically the vice president versus Congress.
I see that. I feel that.
I see that as well.
And so they, you know, they, the little scheming, the catty ladies that are, they're always scheming against each other, can't ever get anything done because they're too busy.
Yeah. And they're easily like played off of each other.
No, please don't scissor them. Don't do that.
They're very, very, very easy to play off each other. Like Egwene, like they are so dumb that Egwene, an 18, 19 year old girl, makes them look like chumps in front of the whole of the White Tower and the nobility of Andor and Mirandy.
Yeah?
Wow, damn tinnitus.
Yeah.
It's true, though.
No, I mean, yeah, like, no, I could hear you, and then suddenly it was just like full-on tinnitus.
Oh, yeah. Good yeah. times. No, I agree.
Yeah.
The thing that saved that interaction for me, though, the thing that made me able to sort of like ingest that without nausea was how Egwene came in and was like, I know exactly how to deal with these people because I've got training from my women's circle back at home. And when you got right? two women squabbling for control of one thing, you just let them squabble, and then in the meantime, if they're fighting over a pie, let them fight over the pie, and then you just come over and take the pie. And that's exactly what Egwene did, and it's the only thing that made those characters tolerable, because they were the stooges that raised her to Amaryllin and then handed her the White Tower, like unwittingly.
As well as the fact and that she had the best mentor ever.
Yeah.
Yep.
I love that.
No, that's excellent. I like that. That's a really good choice. Because, God, they were obnoxious. Reading chapters where Egwene had to deal with Ramonda and Lelaine were so frustrating.
I mean, so you deal with it enough and you definitely understand why she's like, no. Don't rescue me. Leave me here in the fucking prison tower. Like, this is better. Trust me.
Wait. Spank me every hour.
Be sent to still the mistress of novices and then made to scrub pots until they shine for another night, or go back to Ramonda and Lelaine.
Yeah.
Let's go with the tower. It's much less annoying. It's much less frustrating.
At least they openly tell me they hate me.
Right?
I also think there was a bit of like some disappointment when they start rooting out dark friends and neither Ramonda nor Lelaine are dark friends. And they're both like, I was hoping to use that. Yeah, they're like more upset that they can't use that against the other one than the fact that there are dark friends in the tower. Like,
I actually thought that was Egwene was sad that neither of them were because Shiryam, one of her friends, turned out to be one, and those two, her political adversaries, are fine.
Oh yeah. You're not evil. You're just an asshole.
Yeah. You don't even have an excuse for it. What the fuck?
It's kind of representative of kind of the, I guess, like, the interesting thing about this world is just that sometimes good, like, people on the side of good are douchebags.
Well, because, again, let's be honest, one of the reasons...
I'm not bad. I'm just written that way.
One of the things that I always, again, will come back to over and over and over again about Robert Jordan and the way that he wrote these characters and the way that he wrote these books and whatnot is... Both sides have their village idiots. Both sides have so many stupid decisions that are made because of selfishness and because of this and because of that. And you absolutely have your dark friends who are actively trying to fuck up the world. you have your, you know, those people who are on the side of the light and like very much on the side of the light, the champions of the light, if you will. And
Paragon types.
Yeah, and plenty of them are dumbasses. In fact, the one who's supposed to be the most champion of the light sits there at home in bed being like, Moraine, Leia, all of these other women I've gotten killed. And you're like, dude, grow up. Like, Jesus fucking Christ. And I think, so again, I think it's one of the things that I love about the story is that there is the play between the light and the dark. There is actually a war going on. There is actually good and there is actually evil. But there are so many people who are good who are dumb or selfish.
Yeah.
And there are also so many people who are bad, who are dumb or selfish. And you're just like real life. There are a lot of people who are just running around being dumb and selfish. And
it's almost some of like
them are actually serial killers. And some of them are actually like, you know, very much on the side of the light, if you will. But you know where, you know what group of people has idiots? All of them. Every single group has their village idiot. And the fact that that's represented in every Wheel of Time is fantastic.
Well, and it rounds out the idea that Robert Jordan wanted to bring to the page, which was that, A, in any story, there should be representation of self-interest. Yes. Nobody wants to be Jesus. Like that's just that. Nobody wants that. Nobody.
Even in the Bible, Jesus didn't really want to be Jesus at different points. I mean, like
nobody wants to save the world. Nobody wants to die a miserable death on behalf. I mean, people will. I believe people are inherently good, and in a lot of situations, they will, in that moment, they will step up and help. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying when you have this long, drawn-out decision, it's a much more difficult thing to march 100 miles to your own death. And then when you get this, when you round out this world of all these different civilizations with different cultures, different views, and different ways of thinking, different prophecies, and they all have to figure out how to work together, because if they don't work together, they will lose and everyone will die. It is literally everyone needs to work together. We have to compromise and we have to do things we're not okay with in sometimes, but we have to figure out how to work together to beat the big bad.
Yep.
It's such a great story. I love it. It's beautiful.
Yeah. There's a lot of good things working together. And then, like, there's sometimes, like, tangent characters that are just like, Jordan, don't need a POV from these people. Please move on.
Yep.
Those are the people that are going to be cutting the show.
Oh, Andrew. Yes.
Andrew, who was your character that you just could not stand? Who did you love to hate?
Or maybe your second least favorite character, because I'm pretty sure I can actually say who your least favorite character is in the
series. Who is my least favorite character?
Tylan.
Oh, yeah. You fucking nailed it.
Yeah.
I have a visceral reaction.
I went second least favorite character as well, because I figured that either you were going to take that one or we were all just going to collectively agree that Tylan's the worst and all choose our second least favorite.
She's the one that based 100% purely on emotional reaction and emotional like feelings from the characters that I hate more than any other character. Like, to the point that I believe what the Golem did to her, she deserved 100%. Like, fuck you, everything about you. If your entire palace and you were the only person there got nuked, like, the only thing I would feel bad for is, like, the resulting fallout.
Right?
Yeah. But there's anyway, nothing.
So who's your second least favorite?
Aurum.
Or do you want to go there? Do you want to go there?
Yeah, it's up to you. Do it.
No, I mean, I'm fine with either way. So you honestly,
do it.
I think Tylan's been talked about enough to death. And I also don't want to invite... Right now, I do not have the mental capacity to invite nor entertain the people that are going to inevitably say, like, oh, no.
I have Island neither Defenders. The patience nor the crayons to explain to you why you are wrong.
Yeah, I don't have the faculties for that right now.
Well, since Tylan's a trigger for a lot of people...
So let's go.
What's
your I don't think she's much of a... Well, can be a trigger for a lot of people because of the situation around.
Yeah.
But it's... Yes. There are some people that see the...
Yeah. I don't think anybody really defends Tylan.
So there are people. Tinker.
There are because
there are people Tylan that... And the whole argument is predicated generally on, oh, I didn't see what happened between Matt and Tylan as what actually happened between Matt and Tylan.
Yeah.
You mean you didn't read the words?
I'm like, okay,
it's a whole thing.
So for that, if that's what you think, then take the book situation, pull that out, swap the assumed agendas of the two people involved and put it in a real life scenario and imagine seeing that story on CNN.
Oh, you can't do that, Andrew. You can't do that, Andrew. Sorry. That's not a fair comparison. When you just do that, it's not a fair comparison.
We don't do rational thought and explore things from every possible avenue.
That's so, right. So leaving the T word out of this.
Yeah. Doesn't even deserve
just
a name.
The T word now.
Doesn't even deserve just a letter.
The T word. That's an insult to T.
Yeah, but Aram,
who shall not be named.
Oh, he's
fear
just...
Fear of a name so only increases fear of the thing itself, Josh.
This isn't fear, it's disdain.
Aram is, he's just so incredibly annoying. I couldn't stand him. He was the cocky high school, student that thought that he could get anybody and anything he wanted just because he had some modicum of charisma and looked pretty. I can remember people all through middle school and high school that acted just like this. And every last one of them deserves a good bonk on the head. Now get your shit in order. The world doesn't revolve around you. You're not the best thing since sliced bread. Betty White is the best thing since sliced bread. Oh, actually, before sliced
Betty
bread.
What? Yeah, I was
sliced bread is the best thing since Betty White.
No, didn't overtake it.
I said the best thing since. That doesn't mean better than.
No, I agree 100%. Aram is
fair point. Yeah, he's the worst.
He's just how can somebody that lives a life surrounded by peace and the constant threat of death because you don't believe in self defense or defense of others become so abundantly cocky, on face value, that doesn't seem those don't seem to be character traits that mesh well together. But Aram he doesn't embody both of them. He embodies the cockiness, and we see what is more important to him several times because he flips more than a pancake at IHOP.
but the thing is he was cocky.
That's not as insulting to pancakes at IHOP's flipping.
It's true.
He was cocky before he picked up the sword, though. Remember in book one, when Perrin and Egwene go to
that's
the
what I was talking
camp.
About.
Yeah, that's
and
what he was
just
talking about.
Oh yeah, and I'm
oh you're kid. New and also pretty and have a vagina. All right, cool. Well, I want that.
And you know when they showed up, Aram had to think that there was something going on between Egwene and Perrin.
Oh, absolutely.
So he went full fucking douchebaggery to. I'm gonna become Mr. Steal Your Girl.
He was cock boxing since they stepped into camp.
Yeah.
And everybody knows that guy, and everybody hates that guy.
And if I will you tell look you this, around in your friend group and you don't find one of those guys, you very well may be that guy and everyone hates you.
Or you just are good at choosing friends that aren't complete assholes.
And
it's
this
also
is
true. That's
advice.
Why I said may. I didn't say you definitely are. I said may. If you
and
take a hard look at yourself and you're not that guy either, then you have a better friend group than most.
I will say this is free advice from the Black Tower. If you are pursuant into a relationship with a lady and there is another gentleman who is actively competing and making that competitiveness very well known, and it's very annoying and very obnoxious, and you find yourself having to compete for the attention of the lady, and the lady chooses the guy who's initiating the competition.
You don't want her. I promise.
Oh, I just have a simple philosophy. If I have to compete for your attention or affection, then I don't have to compete because I'm not going to, because I don't want it.
See, I don't think there's any problem with being like, hey, I'm going to,
that's just me. I'm going to attract your attention.
I'm going to put in some work. I'm going to do my dance. I'm going to do my, my forbidden dance of love. I'm going to get your attention, but like, there's a difference. I think,
I am going to shake my tail feathers that are very, very vibrant.
Very vibrantly colored. I think there's a difference between competing for someone, which you're absolutely correct, Andrew. If you're competing, that's just not okay. But then there's also like putting in the work to try and, you know.
Yes. No, and I think Josh actually did sort of make the distinction well. Where if the other guy, or if either of you, if you're this person, stop it. If you are making it a competition, that's the thing. Because again, putting in the work and actually knowing that there is someone else who's out there and making yourself more desirable based on the fact that you know that you are not their only choice is not a bad thing. That is actually a good thing. That is what you should be doing. If you want the affection of this person, pursue them. Put in the work. Put in the time. Put in the charm. If you are making it a competition for competition's sake, go fuck yourself. Eat a bag of dicks. Go jump off a large cliff or take a short walk off of a long pier.
And this is the kind of guy that Aram is. He's worse than Mr. Steal Your Girl. He is Mr. I don't care who the guy is or who the girl is. I want all the girls. And so therefore all the girls must admire me. And if they do not admire me, I'm going to have a problem with this. And you know what? Maybe I don't even care if I have any interest in them. I just don't want them to have any interest in anybody else. Yeah.
Don't waste your time pursuing people like Aram, and don't be a shitbag like Aram.
And
like, you know, if shitbaggery could have a first place prize, like that's at least in strong contention for shitbaggery.
<You're welcome. laughs> And you know, the other thing that gets me with Aram is he jumps in, he trains hard, he's like, I'm gonna be a, and he starts out with like this noble sort of, you know, intention. I'm gonna defend my family. I'm sick of seeing the people I love destroyed. Cool. And Perrin's like, he can live his own life, he can make his own choices. But even Perrin knows there's something wrong with him. And as much as I want to be like, you know, there's post-traumatic stress, there's all these kinds of things, you know, after watching half of your village slaughtered and eaten by Trollocs, that'll give anybody a good amount of post-traumatic stress. Right. But Aram had problems prior to that. And that post-traumatic stress just exacerbated those issues. And I think it broke him, and he was gone from that moment forward. So what you see going forward from the time he picks that sword up and begins to wield it, he's dead. He's gone. And I think that's where the tragedy of Aram, the Tinker with a Sword, comes in.
Hey.
He's still a dick.
Yeah. It's because of how he acted when we first meet him. To me, he's just been that way. That's just who he is.
Sure.
It doesn't matter like what else happens or what goes on. Like that way, if you have trauma, you're not even trying to handle it. You're not even doing anything with it. You're trying to cover it up and power over it by throwing yourself so far into being a cocky dickbag asshole that you just like you ignore that you even have a problem. So that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did we lose the Lord Captain?
No, he's still around. I think he might have had to step off screen for something.
Okay. just wanted to make sure. Didn't want to, you know, keep moving about him there. Daniel, do you have a character that you hate?
I do. I actually have several. But the one that we're going
as,
to use
as we
tonight,
all do.
But the one that we are going to use tonight is, and I know, again, this is a little bit of like a low-hanging fruit kind of thing, but it's Elida. It's absolutely Elida. Elida, to me, is one of the absolute worst characters in the series. Again, just because everything that she does is so selfish. And
oh yeah,
definitely, don't get me wrong, I have selfish bones in my body. I do things that are for myself, you know, at the expense of some other people on occasion. I'm not perfect. I'm not the most generous person, but selfishness always bugs the shit out of me.
Yeah.
The shit out of me, especially because I'm a huge fan of things like, you know, the movie In Time. It talks about just if we just actually distributed time to everyone, we could all have more of it and we could all be more successful with it and we could all do whatever. But no, there are these people who are hoarding millions of years of time, screwing out the people who don't have it, just for no good reason. And Elida, to me, is so like that. She has so many resources. She has this like talent that is incredible. And she just uses it for her own gain, left and right, and just thinks that all of her foretellings are about her, and all of the everything that she does is about her. And over and over and over again, we see her make decisions that are, they only benefit me, and oftentimes a lot of people get hurt.
You needed to read Machiavelli.
Right? And so
the whole world is collapsing. The dragon has been reborn. We acknowledge the dragon has been reborn. What should we do? I need a palace.
What about the dragon? Put him in a footlocker and just keep him there until we're ready.
just bring him to me. I mean, we're the White Tower.
Excuse me, you could do me two favors. Number one, make me a palace, and two, put the dragon in my box. Wait, that's not what I meant. That's absolutely not what I meant.
That box on the floor, the one over there, you sick woman.
Yeah, no, 100%. Yeah. Elida is so very much, I bet
clueless.
You think
this song is about you. Clueless.
I mean, so you could also kind of make the argument that the same guilt that she assigns to Suan and Moraine, and I always say it wrong. What's the keeper's, how do you say the keeper's name? Leanne?
Liana.
It's whatever.
Good.
L.
It's Wheel of Time names. But say it how you want, buddy.
Yeah, there's a chance that you can make the same argument that she is, at least to some degree, just as guilty.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. Yeah, I agree.
Like, because she meets Rand and she sees things about Rand through her talent. I only use the quotation marks because she doesn't deserve to have anything.
Right. Yeah. But it's not that it isn't actually a talent, but could we give it to somebody who's better than fucking Elida? Like,
and then she looks at all this and she's like, he's dangerous. Yeah, it's probably fine. I'm not going to tell anybody about this.
Well, and again, I mean, the first example that we see of her that is not the first example, because you just brought up the first example of, you know, Rand being shown to the throne room, blah, blah, blah. But the first thing that she does, not just talks, not just, you know, is present in the room, but the first thing she does in the book series is to depose a sitting Amyrlin, divide the tower, and get a boatload of warders killed.
How cocky do you have to be to have been out of the tower for years? And to come back and just be like, yeah, I hadn't been here, and I know I haven't lived here in forever, and I don't know half of your names, but this shit is mine.
Yeah.
Like, no, she essentially invaded her way into the Amaralan Sea.
It's true.
Through subversion.
Yep. Well, so that's definitely my pick. Because Elida's the worst.
Yeah. Good one. Good one.
What say ye, Lord Captain Commander?
I think that Elida, like, definitely has elements of the fact that she is a kind of just a lot. I think, like, one of the things about, like, a lot of, like, the detestable female characters is kind of, like, they are the worst of what the society has to offer, or at least the worst of what their society has to offer. Like, you mentioned Tylan before. I think Elida is also an evidence of, like, she's the worst of, like, Red Sister cockiness culture.
Yes.
As opposed to someone like Kavara, who, like, is more like a straight edge cop sort of person who just wants to, like, take down the bad guys and bring them to justice. Whereas Elida is kind of seems like she's been ambitious from the beginning.
Yeah. So Pravara is the cop that says, if you give me the weed, I'll just throw it away and won't write you a ticket, and then actually does that. Elida is the cop that says, if you give me the weed, I won't write you a ticket, and as soon as you pull the weed out, pulls their gun on you and says, don't fucking move, dirtbag.
That's right.
Oh,
that's
and right. Then also takes the weed, writes you the ticket, and then smokes the weed before it gets to the
evidence line. Oh, you've got two fingers of weed here in this bag. I'm gonna write.
Are you measuring ticket. Weed like it's whiskey?
For one, and I don't know how they measure weed
in grams.
Okay,
grams. You've got
10 grams of weed Christ. Here. And
10 grams of weed. That'd be so much weed.
I'm writing you a ticket for 5 grams of weed because you had 5 grams of weed on you, you filthy criminal. And then would take the rest for herself.
Doesn't 5 grams in states versus legal still get you intent to distribute?
I don't know.
Dude, I think 2 grams of weed gives you intent to distribute.
Yeah.
But yeah,
did Josh, you ever see the story about the guy that got caught with like a whole kilo of weed
and doesn't know how weed works?
Do you ever see the story about the guy that he got caught with an entire brick of a fucking weed and he tried to, he argued that it was for personal consumption? Because personal consumption amounts are legal wherever he was. And the cops were like, okay, prove it. And he rolled like a massive blunt.
Oh my God.
And then probably, he had to smoke it all.
And then he probably had to sit there for like, you know, probably 8 hours just trying to puff on this massive drink. Like, that's where you should have said, like, no, I'm going to put it in a leaf blower, light it, and just box the house.
Hell yeah.
Honestly, once he got through, you know, like an hour of smoking the weed, as the cop, I would have been like, all right, you know what? I know that it was for personal consumption, and we don't want you to have that much for personal consumption, but your commitment to this was admirable. Therefore, stop and smoke the rest of this later, because you're going to die.
Please don't continue. And you can't please overdose call on someone marijuana. To come pick you up.
I know you can't overdose, but like you're going to get so high that you're going to do something stupid and die. Not die from
the Darwin Awards are going to be full with this guy.
Right?
So, are you happy that you proved it was for personal consumption? I can see into the eighth dimension.
Shapes and colors.
Oh, I can see into the ninth dimension. We're going way beyond here.
No, Daniel, more like
Joe Rogan. You have a great podcast.
Wait. Dope smoking with Joe Rogan. Don't slow motion my pace, man. Such a good one. I love that.
So, Josh, now that we've talked about all of the rest of us,
you guys are going
to
love mine.
Before we go to Josh's, since you didn't get a chance, dude, did you have anything you wanted to say? On Aurum.
I think that partially it's just Aurum is basically like one of the worst judges of character ever. And he's a very needy person, clearly.
Are we talking about Aurum or Gawain? Because I feel like we got back to Gawain somehow.
The thing is, like, they both stem from similar character flaws in a lot of ways. They're both pretty boys. They're both relatively privileged in the space that they're in. they are like relatively good with girls for the most part. But there's also kind of the issue with Gawain, Gawain, he wants approval from like the ether, but Aram wants respect from the people in his life, such as he wants respect from Perrin, he wants respect from he wants respect from Fael, and like when Perrin like gets obsessed with Fael, he just turns to the worst possible psychotic person yeah. demagogue type that he could possibly go to.
Pretty much. Yeah. No, I agree.
But it's just kind of sickening to see. It's kind of sad to see. Be like just a kind of young and impressionable guy decide to take that route. It's kind of sad.
Yeah, well, and that's actually one of the
bites. Like, oh, you showed me attention. I am attached to you, and I'm going to show you my loyalty by continuously biting you in your back's turn.
Yeah,
I will kill your friends and family to remind you of my love. La da 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 da.
Yep. Yeah, the other thing that I actually want to say about Aram is one of the reasons that it's so tragic in some ways is because there was so much hope. Because like when you first meet him, he is kind of just a cock. That's basically just what he is. Just the whole
time. He's just a cock. Period. End of story. That's it.
And then you meet him again later, and he is almost seemingly noble. Because again, you know that what he's doing is picking up the sword because he's sick of it. Because he's done. Because he's over what his family has been doing for years of the, no, if we get attacked, some of us will just die. And he's like, that's not acceptable.
Right?
And again, you know, however you think of, you know, pacifism, however you think of the way of the leaf, all of that different stuff, there is absolutely some admirability for defending yourself. Even if you don't think it's the right thing to do, there is still an admirability to the idea of defending yourself and especially defending others. And so when Aram decides that he's done with it and joins Perrin and picks up the sword and joins the Two Rivers men and makes the decision that the way of the leaf is not how he chooses to live, you're like, cool, that is absolutely fine for you to do. Let's go. If you're gonna do that, learn how to actually defend yourself, learn how to defend others, be here for these Trolloc attacks, do your best, all of that. And for a little while, it looks like Aram's gonna be fine. And then that trauma made him a better person.
Right.
Rather than making him more of a piece of shit. And then by the time you get to Winter's Heart, you're like, oh, no, it didn't. No, it very much didn't. You're awful.
He's awful. He's terrible.
Anyway.
So mine, and I'm just going to say his name, and I want to know if you guys...
Does it start with an R?
It does not.
Okay.
Oh.
I want to know if you guys know...
Or does it start with a G?
It also does not start with a G. There's only 24 letters left. You guys want to just keep guessing?
I mean, we can.
Aes Sedai who starts with S.
It is also not an Aes Sedai.
Indeed,
so,
you said he. So
I would like to just say his name. You guys tell me if you recognize the name and where he's from. Lord Vrom Torkomin.
I remember him exactly. He is Davern Bashir's cousin who turned out to be a dark friend.
Yep. So he is...
He is Lord of Maridon.
Yep.
This pissant watched Rodel Eturalde defend his people from an overwhelming mass of Trollocs and then still would not permit him into the city. And then when he came into the city, Vrom Torkamin was like, I'm going to arrest you for treason and kill you. And then we find out, of course, that he's a dark friend. And a lot of people would say, oh, well, he's a dark friend. His behavior is excused. And I'm like, or at least his behavior is like, okay, yeah, I know why he did it.
Logically
justified.
I know why he did it. It makes sense why he did it. Even if it's not a
reason that is justifiable, it is justified.
But you've got levels of dark friends, right? We've learned this throughout the series. You've got the dark friend who's like, I'm a dark friend and I live out in the middle of nowhere. And every once in a while, you know, I go to this meeting. But they don't actually really do anything. And then you've got
bastards, the next level up where like, as Torkamin. Soon as you turn into that, you get that dun, dun, dun,
yeah.
dun, dun, dun.
And then you got bastards dun. Like Torkamin who's like, ha, look at all those people dying. I'm totally not going to die because I'm a dark friend. You're a dumbass. And Vrom Torkamin, like, that whole interaction, like, finding out that he's a dark friend was not enough to slake my rage towards this man. Well,
at least in the end, he goes full Oedipus.
He does, and that's good, because Rand shows and up and, his like, wife decimates the first, everything.
His wife watched the first episode of Game of Thrones. Decided that she wanted to become, you know, the three-eyed raven. she stood at a windowsill and somebody down below yelled, do a flip!
do a backflip! She jumps out and then he, like, in sheer terror, claws his eyes out and he ends up dead. And I'm like, you know what, though? Like, you think of the bad guys. There are bad guys and then there are really bad guys. There are really
just because he is a bad guy does not mean he is bad guy, but sometimes he's mean he's bad guy.
He sat there and watched these men, these soldiers lined up to fight the forces of Shadowspawn and just kind of went, that one got his head bit off. That's cool. He listened to them.
Did you say he was related to
in terror?
He's
related to Davram and Tenobia.
Okay.
And so it's just like
it's not a distant relationship, but it's not like brother.
Cousin. Oh no, I know they're cousins. Like I thought that we have misspoken, said that he was related to Rodel.
Oh no, 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 no.
I was just making sure since our unofficial fact checker had to step away, I wanted to make sure that if that was the case, we caught it before anybody else caught it.
That's true. Before our eyes were lowered or we had toe.
Yes.
Got 10 toes.
We do have a lot of toes.
Between us,
but no, 40 toes. Vrom Torkamin, like he sat there.
I mean 39.
And with the smile on his face, just tried to present one of the most ripe bits of fruit to the shadow. And it hurt my heart, especially seeing how much trouble they went through to hold Maradon, even after coming into the city and how it scarred Brodel. I mean, Brodel, he's one of my favorite characters. So to see how it scarred and how it hurt him so much to lose so many of his friends and family and people that he relied on, people that saved his life, people he trusted. It just, I'm a sucker for a wounded soldier and I hate the person who hurt the soldier. And I think that Vrom deserved so much more than what he got. So that's my visceral hate character.
And it's legit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have to admit, I don't totally agree. Just because, again, I mean, he is a dark friend, so his side was and that's the thing is, like, again, I feel like it actually was completely justified once you found out that he was a dark friend, because he didn't view these people as people. Which, again, I mean, is hateful in and of itself, but when you swear your life to the shadow, you're now part of the shadow. So Trollocs are your people. And if there's two armies fighting, you're going to root for the one that's your people, basically. And again, I'm not saying he's not hateful. He's hateful already when he swears his life to the shadow. Fuck that guy. However, his behavior from that point forward is totally understandable and appreciated. It's just a hateful thing to
again. Again, I do not disagree with you. Totally understandable, but oh,
but yeah.
Again, like right. I said, that's the story
such a good guy. So heart hurts.
That's the story right. that hits my heartstrings because, like, I'm a sucker for, like I said, the wounded soldier, the valiant last stand, and you know, the Wheel of Time has so many of those valiant last stands, and you know, just to see this guy exacerbating that and knowing that. Like, and again, this is not, and this is how you know this is where I'm coming from a place, because it's not to me about, oh man, he really jeopardized the life's chances of winning in the last battle. I mean, yes, that is a fact, but what hurt me more was the suffering that the soldiers went through and the trauma yes. they suffered watching all yes. their forces be decimated by Trollocs, by nightmare fuel in real life. So that's kind of the thing. But yeah, I don't disagree with you. You're not wrong there. I feel that.
Yeah, I think that didn't he like the Trollocs are like eating people like outside as like a form of psychological warfare.
Yep.
But they're just saying, hey, dis good folks.
The snack
whose brother this? I'm
not. I bet that one on the wall tastes better. He looks like Wagyu.
He's ripe for eating.
Have you? That soldier you looks like prime cut. Have you been massaged with sake your whole life? Because you look like good beef.
The snack just smells back. Man,
Trollic pickup lines.
Meat's back on the menu, boys. What about their legs? They don't need their legs, do they?
I could just see, like, you know, in a battle, you know, crossing swords with a Trolloc, and the Trolloc comes in, is like,
you be massage with sake?
Ching, ching, ching.
You look like fine Wagyu.
Ching, ching, yeah, and then you know another one.
That would be Murdrol.
I eat your kidney with a Chianti and fava beans.
Maybe I keep you alive longer and just force feed you until your liver turns a yellow. terrible.
Trollocs are now suddenly like Hannibal.
No, I don't. You know what? You know what Trollocs are to me. Trollocs are Gordon Ramsay. They're in the middle of the battle being like, where is the duck sauce?
That's amazing. I love it.
Oh. Why did the man run away from the Trollocs?
Because this human
fucking cook it!
This human is so raw, it's still swinging a sword for creator's sakes. Or wait.
Whoa.
Sakes.
There we go.
For great lord's sakes, I don't know, whatever. But yeah, no,
that does sound like psychological warfare that Patton Fane would definitely use when he's like running around with the Trollocs.
Talk about a hateable character.
Yeah,
I feel like Patton Fane is the guy that tried once to eat a meal with the Trollocs, and then declined like further, not because it was eating people, because he just didn't like the flavor.
Yeah. No, there wasn't enough salt.
Yeah.
No, problem with Padon Fane is that he is so hateable, but he's like six different hateable characters rolled into one rather than just one hateable character.
He's also extremely, he's like the Joker. There's kind of nothing really like that can faze him. Which kind of helps out.
Also, I do want to throw out there, Rafe, I know that you're listening, and I know you're probably not going to do this, but if you could just make 100% sure that Jared Leto does not do any consulting for the character of Pot on Fate because it will be terrible.
Yeah, well, don't let Jared Leto hear this.
Yeah.
Tune in for our DC themed podcast where we talk about why Jared Leto.
There's only one good thing that came out of the Jared Leto version of Joker, and that was a good Saul.
Correct, yes.
Otherwise, it was pointless. And it was probably mainly good because it only involved him not speaking and just barely being visible in the music video.
Though I will throw out there, I would not hate it if at some point later on in the series, we got a dark friend just tattooed across Pot on Fane's forehead. That would be hilarious.
Like, Jared Leto as a Joker is what a dark friend would be if Tekashi 6ix9ine tried to be a dark friend.
Yeah, exactly.
No,
Jared Leto decided to be a Joker.
Edgier. Yeah.
It is.
Jared Leto Joker is just Pater, but edgier.
Yes. I would not be surprised that if he was still alive, you know, Rafe Judkins wouldn't have asked Heath Ledger to come and be Pot on Fame, because that would have been solid.
Honestly, yeah. I think
Watch me make this human disappear. Trick.
So, thank you. Thank you, everyone.
You think when Trollocs go on a diet, they put human beings in like their version of a juicer?
Yes.
Well, it's so much healthier for you this way, dude. You get so many more of the nutrients. It's fresher.
Wait,
you're gonna live forever.
Eat soup with people when you can just drink a smoothie, man?
A people smoothie. Thank you so much for being here tonight. Before we wrap this up, before we close this thing down, because you guys are awesome and you know you are, and we know you are. But Lord Captain Commander Dunn, please let the people know. I know you shared your link to your books earlier in the chat here, but let the people know where you're at on social media. Where can they find you? Where can they check you out?
Okay. You can find me on YouTube at Lord Captain Commander Dunn. You can also find me at Goodreads on Amazon. Just look up B. Malachi Dunn and follow me there. I post content on at least once a month during the summer. I have a fairly large library of books for whenever you want. For if you want some relatively short fantasy books. Some may feel a little bit derivative at times, but I'm working on making some good stuff. I know like on Kindle Velo when that releases, I will be weekly releasing chapters of my superhero story called Super Shots that you can and read. I also stream Mondays, Thursdays, and Fridays. On various kinds of topics relating to pop culture and culture and writing, and beautiful. I just hope to see you wherever you want to come. I'm over, and I hope you enjoy my books if that is appealing to you.
Hell yeah!
Well, excellent.
I can't say thank you enough for being on the show with us. We've absolutely loved having you here. I've loved you know, your insights.
Check the show notes and the description for those links as well.
If you're watching us here on YouTube, check the links below. If you're not watching us or listening to us on YouTube, go to YouTube.
And wherever you're listening to us,
subscribe.
Yeah.
And then look down in the description down below. So
it
that
will
you can
also
get
be in the description for the episode on Podbean.
Yeah, that's why I said show notes.
Yeah. Show notes. Whatever. You guys are so much better at this than I am. No, but thank
you,
Lord.
We've actually published episodes and you haven't.
Thank you, Lord Captain Commander Dunn. We've certainly enjoyed having you here. You're awesome. We very much appreciate you being here. For all the rest of you, go to blacktowerpod.com. You know the drill by now. Everything's there.
Did you know that the Black Tower Podcast has its very own website? No? Well, then make sure you head on over to www.blacktowerpod.com for even more Black Tower Podcast tainty goodness. On our site, you can find all of our social media links conveniently located towards the bottom left if you're on computer. There are links to the Facebook page, our Twitter, our YouTube, and our Instagram. So you can keep up to date with us by finding all of our social media there. Also on our website, you can find a link to the forums that we have, where we have all kinds of discussions and, as Morshadi has done plenty of times, run naked through the forums. No worries, there's no pictures. We turned off the cameras for that. You can find links to Black Tower Podcast merch, both on New Creations by Jen and from Spreadshirt, where you can find any of our designs that we've ever put out, and you can go and get yourself whatever kind of merchandise you want, be it shirts, glasses, aprons for cooking, bags, hats, buttons, anything that you want, you can find in between the two merch shops that we have. Website also has a very quick and accessible link for our Discord, where you can come and join all of the fantastic tainty discussions that we have in our Discord server. We do have sections for spoiler and non-spoiler content, so you can come and enjoy something for you if you have finished a series, or something for you if you haven't finished a series. Another key feature is our Dragonsworn On Demand section, where you can automatically see the most recent 5 videos from our YouTube that will play on an automatic playlist for you on the website. A quick button to get to our YouTube there as well, and you can just listen to the most recent 5 episodes that we have posted on Podbean. If you're curious about events and things we have coming up, we also have the Black Tower calendar, where you can go and look and see when we generally do our live Patreon recordings, when our episodes go live, and any events and things that we have coming up that we can put on the calendar. A quick link to our Patreon, where you can join and get access to all kinds of different content, including pre-recordings, and depending on the tier, early access to episodes, shout outs, all that kind of fun stuff. And of course, we will update the Patreon whenever we do have the updates ready to go live. We are still working on that. That is coming as of right now. Make sure you head on over to our website, where you can literally get access to anything that we have and we put out.
After you've saturated yourselves with the tainty goodness at blacktowerpod.com, take a trip up to the Blight. Go to the Great Blight.
All right, guys. Well, as we all know here at the Black Tower Podcast, not everything that is touched by the shadow is lost. And that is totally true for thegreatblight.com. Now, Nablis and his team have done an amazing job of going ahead and putting this together, and it is possibly the greatest resource for those of us here in the Wheel of Time community. First off, you have this awesome homepage with posts from a bunch of your favorites. You can go and check out new things that you've never seen before, keep up to date on content creators that you already follow, and just go ahead and dip as many of your toes or your entire foot as you want into all of the different things that are going on. Now, also here, there is probably the best list of content creators. There's YouTubers, podcasters, artists, musicians, just about everything you could want. And if you don't see your favorite content creator there, that's fine. There is an application included in the site to go ahead and make sure that your favorite content creator is part of it. Just encourage them to fill out the application and Nablis will be in touch. Now, after you've gone ahead and checked that out, you're going to want to pop over to the ever-expanding library here at the Great Blight, because it is something particularly special. Now, I don't know how many times I've gone ahead and joined a fandom only to find out halfway through my first read, looking up a character, that they die in the second to last book, which sucks. It always is very disappointing when you can't look up anything interesting about what you've read for fear of things that you haven't read yet. But they've fixed the problem over at thegreatblight.com. It is a spoiler-free wiki. That's right. That means that if you've only read up to Path of Daggers and you really want to find out what in the world you missed about Egwene because there's something you just don't understand, or if you want to get more information about Rand because you think he's super cool, you don't need to read past Path of Daggers, and it's not going to ruin you on A Memory of Light before you've gotten there. You'll know exactly where to stop. You'll know exactly where you are. And once you're done with that, make sure that you go ahead and help the site out, the content creators out, everything like that, with the beta nature of it.
Up here at the top, you're going to see a problem, have a suggestion button. That is specifically for if you have any issues with the site or if you have any feedback. It's only something that we can make better with feedback and with help from the community. So come on down, check it out. Grab a couple of our videos or grab a couple of our podcasts, and we'd love to see you there.
And once you're done with that and your brain can't handle anymore and you need to recharge, go to thecrystalbarista.com.
All right. Sorry to interrupt whatever you may be watching or listening to, whatever topic we're covering right now, but we absolutely have to take a moment to talk about and thank our friend Josh's better half and the longtime sponsor and supporter of the Black Tower podcast. Of course, this is the Crystal Barista. Whether you seek crystals and minerals and the like for their cleansing, healing, and positive vibes, or you just enjoy them and think they look pretty neat, you can find anything you could possibly want with crystals and minerals here at crystalbarista.com. With everything from individual pieces that can be ordered to monthly subscription boxes, there is something here for absolutely everyone, for every occasion, for whatever you could possibly want. There's no way you can't find something that you would like in her store. On the website crystalbarista.com, you can browse by different categories, including the subscription boxes, minerals and fossils, crystal healing, stone jewelry, all the way to just the raw slabs of whatever may be being sold. And if you're more budget conscious and you want to look at anything that is limited by price, you can look for anything that is from zero to almost $25, $25 to $50, and then anything that may be over $50. Now, if you are a rock hound and you want to get some really good tools to help you in your hounding, the Crystal Barista provides those as well. And you can find those on the same website. It's a very user-friendly website. You can find absolutely anything you need for your rock hounding, mineral, crystal, fossil needs. Now, going through the website, you can also find links to the Crystal Barista's Twitter, the Crystal Barista's Facebook, as well as the Crystal Barista's Instagram, and a couple other things. Make sure you go and follow the Crystal Barista on Twitter at RockPick, RockPick, to get updates as they come out and to be up to date on what exactly is going on with the Crystal Barista. She does like to throw up things on Twitter that may be available for you to get at slightly cheaper prices, but more commonly you can find that over on the Crystal Barista Facebook. So again, same name on Facebook, RockPick, and you'll be looking for the page that says Crystal Barista, formerly Rock Pick Legend Company. Facebook is a good place for updates for the Crystal Barista. And if you just like to look at pictures and kind of see everything that's going on mixed in with some updates, hit up the Crystal Barista on Instagram. You can find her at the Crystal Barista. Again, that's barista with one R, B-A-R-I-S-T-A, which I think is the only way to spell it. But we all know how much trouble I have with spelling. So make sure you go over and check out what the Crystal Barista has to offer and tell her that the Black Tower podcast sent you.
Once you visited all three of those sites, you're done. And that's your homework for the week. And
there is one more that you should check out. Again, also just a, you don't have to think about too much here, but definitely go over and stop by New Creations by Jen.
Everybody loves merchandise. And one of the best possible places to go and get yourself some really dope Wheel of Time inspired and themed merchandise is, of course, newcreationsbyjen.com. So whenever you go to newcreationsbyjen.com, whether you're looking for just Wheel of Time inspired stuff or not, you can find all kinds of really cool merchandise and goodie opportunities, all the way from gifts for your family, friends, significant others, whoever have you, newborns, children, toddlers, women, men, adults, anybody that wants anything, you can find something for them for sure on New Creations by Jen. Now, most of you listening are going to be looking for Wheel of Time stuff. And the easiest way to find it is to go to the catalog section on New Creations by Jen, where you can see the groups of stuff for us at Black Tower Podcasts, Malkier Talks, Talk Around Riyadh, Will Reads, The Will Weaves, and Weekly Will News. So you can find all of this stuff and you can browse and look at all the different kinds of things that each content creator that is a part of New Creations by Jen's has taken and asked Jen and Rob to put up on the site. Obviously, we're going to use ours as an example so that you can go in and look at Black Tower Podcast stuff, because we are the Black Tower Podcast. So if you go on, you can get our Two Rivers Sniper shot glass as well as Two Rivers Sniper shirt. It's available on a red shirt. So you can go on and you can get our Frosty mug, which is one of the Frosty mug collectibles. Each Wheel of Time content creator that is on New Creations by Jen has a Frosty mug that you can go in and get for yourself. So after you get ours, make sure you get the others and get the entire set and join the Frosty Mug Society. Of course, there's more than just Frosty mugs and little shot glasses, and there's plenty of different kinds of shirts with different designs on them from all of the different content creators. Of course, you can find ours where you can get our logo in black and white on a shirt. I have one myself. It's fantastic and I love it. Jen and Rob do an amazing job of working with not only their customers, but the content creators that they help support with this amazing and very good quality merchandise. So if you have not headed over to New Creations by Jen and gotten yourself something dope, make sure you go and do that. Again, it's newcreationsbyjen.com.
Weekly Wheel of News is doing some really fun stuff. And
The Way of the Leaf just released a new shot glass as well.
Hey.
On New Creations by Jen. Super cool. So that's good stuff too.
Fun stuff.
Well, thank you everyone for tuning in. Thank you everyone for listening. We hope that you walk away today feeling just a tiny bit more insane than when you came. So have a fantastic evening. Thank you so much. And as always, from us at the Black Tower, I have been Josh.
And I have been Andrew.
And I have been Daniel. And I want to say two things. Number one, to all of our listeners, thank you again for coming. We hope that you are having a lovely morning wherever it is that you are, whether you are listening to this in full right now or breaking it up into a few different pieces. And in case we don't see you again, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. And to Lord Captain Commander Dunn, just want to say one thing. Can I take a moment to talk to you about our real Lord Captain and Commander, the Dragon Reborn?
Sure. He's a heretic.
Sure.
So much trouble, just fitting.